my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, trade at X5. Let's go.
I'm Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Jeff from Football Guys, and I have a trading problem.
Yes. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 415 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. And so drop a DAP if you're with us. We appreciate all of you. And today, as you heard, we do not have Jeff Blaylock, who we had about a month ago.
We have our second
Jeff from Football Guys. Jeff Bell coming on for his annual appearance. Jeff, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And shout out to Jeff Black. Shout out to Jeff Halfley. I do apologize because there are more than one Jeff at Football Guys, but I'm Jeff Bell, for whom J Bell tolls on all the socials. I'm doing fantastic, guys. Always thrilled to be able to join you all. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. And you announced your socials and everything, but what do you got going on at Football Guys right now?
So we just launched the version 3.0 of the rookie guide, the post-draft version updated with, we ended up with 150 some players. We have some changes behind the scene, around the scenes, above the scenes. The Dynasty Show now is the Dynasty Show with Jeff Bell. So my good friend Dave Kluge is kind of heading up the Fantasy Show, and I'm kind of doing the Dynasty Show, which is, we're excited about both. We'll still do plenty of shows together, but I get the opportunity now to bring guests on. So I'm excited about that, and that's kind of a big change that's going on. And otherwise, just all the fun Football Guys stuff that's going on. We're stepping into, this is really kind of the fun part of the year where we start to get, we were talking pre-show about the FC Eliminators. We get to do just kind of reset and do projections now with the draft incompleted. We don't have to speculate about rookies anymore, where they're going to end up. We have to speculate how good they are now. Mm-hmm. So we get to do all those fun things. But I think this is one of my favorite parts of the year.
And we still get to speculate about Aaron Rodgers, which is great. I know it's everyone's favorite topic. Before we get into all the rookie stuff, because we have a lot today, we have a lot of trades, we have a lot of questions. Rookie drafts kicked off in, Rocky, help me, 4 TA leagues or 3?
3.
So,
only 3 so far, yeah.
3 so far. So we're through Trade Addicts 3, which I am in. And I think I just picked at like the 208. So we're
moving. Yeah, I don't think any of them are past 210 yet.
Yeah. They're moving, though. So we'll get in. Russ sent us over the ADP, so we'll go through that in a little bit. But let's quickly go through the news. There's a lot, not a ton of, like, major stuff. So what we'll do is I'll read each one. I'll ask one question. We can move on. Jonathan Brooks announces he has been fully cleared and feels close to 100%. Jeff Bell, Jonathan Brooks or Chuba Hubbard?
I want Jonathan Brooks at current ADP.
Okay. Rocky, same question.
I mean, if I can, disclaimer it like that, I'll go with what Jeff said, because I would imagine Brooks's ADP is very, very low right now. So, I don't love Chuba Hubbard either. So I'm skeptical of Brooks and him coming back and all that, but I'm also skeptical of Chuba Hubbard in general. So,
yes. No real question here, but Bo Nix had another cleanup ankle surgery, but he's expected to be ready for camp. Kyle Shanahan says George Kittle has a chance to play week 1. Jeff, if George Kittle, I will say, plays in week 1, because it's an Achilles injury, he's probably not 100%. He is tight end what?
Goodness, I want to say, I really wish I could just pull a number right out of the air, but I'm going to say tight end 5 or 6, 7? Does that sound like a good number for you guys? But I did see a note that he might also pop. So
yeah,
we're holding that down a little bit. Let's see. I don't want to say no.
Laporta is not tight end football guys right now.
Tight end 10. Tight end 10.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
I think that's pretty good. And go trade a third for Jake Jones if you have Kittle. Just own the tight end position.
Really quick.
Yes.
You said tight end 10. I always have my DLF ADP up. Here's the three, but he's 13 on currently.
He's 12 on Football Guys too. Yeah.
I'm just curious if you put him above these guys if he starts the year for Dynasty. Eli Stowers.
For Dynasty, putting him above Eli Stowers. Probably depends contender or rebuilder, I guess, at that point. Dynasty just straight out to rank them. I see the argument for Eli Stowers and it firm up once AJ Brown does get traded, probably. But that's a good that you probably trap Rocky. I mean tight end 11. We'll just keep moving him down.
This one I was surprised by. I would put Kittle above even the age difference. Isaiah Likely is tight end 11 in this ADP.
Yeah, I'd put Kittle above there. I think we're projecting quite a bit with Likely. I think we're writing off Theo Johnson a little bit, probably too quickly. And I know that we're seeing a lot of these teams push towards more two tight end sets, and we could easily see Theo Johnson kind of be in the Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely just being the Isaiah Likely.
Mm-hmm. And then 10 is Gadsden.
Yeah, and there was a note the other day about them bringing David Njoku in for a visit. So, yeah, I understand the case for Gadsden, but given the depth of talent at those other Chargers, probably would want to see a little bit more out of Gadsden before you're. And when we're talking fully healthy Kittle, we're not talking about Kittle's limping around and trying to be like George Kittle-ish.
Yeah, and I think the rest are pretty easily above Kittle, at least for Dynasty. So like Sadiq is at 9, and I think Sadiq is over Kittle in Dynasty. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, and moving on to the Browns, Deshaun Watson is leading the Browns QB1 race. And I just said that's unbelievable. Munkin said he would like to know his starting quarterback before camp starts. I would like $1 million. I don't think either is going to happen. So I think it's going to be a camp battle.
Hoping this happens, though, because I have way too many Watson shares that are still around my roster. So
makes me uncomfortable.
I can move them.
I definitely have some Watson shares. I definitely made some regretful trades to get Watson at some points in time. I did notice the other day, one of my favorite things about Dynasty is you just end up being in these rabbit holes and seeing how you acquire different things or what happened. I had a team in 2023. I traded Deshaun Watson and Noah Fant, and I got what ended up being the 101 Bijan Robinson. So that worked out pretty well. And so, I hear you. I do think that they have to admit basically that this is the worst move ever in the history of football to go out and get Watson. So may as well just start him if they're not trying to win.
Yeah. I acquired way too much Watson when all the legal stuff was going on, thinking he'll come back and he'll be great. And that didn't happen.
He could
because I was getting him super cheap, obviously back then. So
he could. If Texans Watson comes back, it's going to be something, but I just don't.
I felt confident. Like there were people saying like, oh, he's never playing again. I was confident he'd be playing again. I just did not think he would be this bad. So,
And right at that time, I know that there was in one of my random leagues, there was a Jalen Hurts for Deshaun Watson trade that happened, that those were two guys going in completely different directions at that time. So really ships passing in the night.
Yes. By the way, he's only 30, which like blows my mind. I learned that last week, but he's only 30 years old, which is crazy. Given all he's lived 30-year-old lifetimes at this point.
Forever,
Well, and to really break it down, like the thing that sticks with me is so in Houston, he lived like in the biggest house in the middle of the richest neighborhood, and then in Cleveland, he basically lives in the woods by himself. And if that tells you everything that's happened with him mentally.
Aaron Rodgers is going to add him to his ayahuasca group chat, and we're going to see how that goes. George Pickens signed his tag. Jeff Bell, Pickens or Lamb at value?
I'll Lamb at value easily.
Okay. Is George Pickens worth a 27 first plus?
See, I struggle with Pickens because I bought a lot of Pickens like two years ago. And so I always run into the mental hurdle of I bought him like down here. And so to buy him up here, it's like I've already got my exposure. I don't want to do that. And so that's what the mental hurdle I run into quite a bit with Pickens.
Yeah. Rocky, same question.
The plus is making me be iffy on him. I think he's definitely worth a 27 first. There's just too. I don't think I would want to go a plus. He might. Most people would probably want that, but I just think there's too many question marks. Given he's just on the franchise tag, is he still going to be a Cowboy? What's going to happen? I think if he's not a Cowboy, his value goes way down. I don't think there's a lot of other places where it's going to go up. So, yeah, I think 27 first, yes. More than that, no.
Yeah. I'll throw one that I got this offer. I ended up declining it, and I don't know if I should have. So I got offered the 26-101, and I have George Pickens, and I have a 27. So I had to give George Pickens and a 27 first. And the first is not mine. The first is our friend Coop. Is very, very, very Coop's a good guy. Coop's team's kind of in the middle of the pack, and it could go any direction. I ended up turning it down and keeping the Pickens in the 27 pick side, but I thought that was a really interesting, good offer, and part of me wonders if I made the right move or not.
So you were giving Pickens in a 27 first for the 101?
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a good idea where that 27 first is?
Coop's team is older, so he's got Stafford as his best quarterback. He's kind of – it's going to be like a fringe playoff team, but a couple injuries could knock it into being the Jeremiah Smith lottery.
I think you got to keep the pick, especially with the way people are valuing the 27 firsts in general. Yeah, I mean, it's only going to get better as it gets closer. So
Yeah. And shout out to Coop. He won the King's Classic. I saw he posted on Twitter this week. So good for him.
Not Andrew Cooper. Matt Cooper.
Oh.
Matt, Coop that's on Twitter.
Got it. Other Coop. My fault. Nate Atkinson of The Athletic expects Kyren and Corum to be a 50-50 split. Kyren would be the third down back. And I'm just going to add color to this. He's going to be the 2-minute back too, because he just always has been. So Kyren or Bucky? Jeff.
Give me Bucky. I think calling the third down back's interesting because they've never done that. It's always been trading off series. And so to say he's the third, I would be surprised to be the third down back. I think they like to trade off series on these backs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they've tended to have a guy. And like you said, they might take him out for a few series. But yeah, it's never really been a pass catching back and early downs back. But I would absolutely take Bucky too. I've always been a big Bucky guy though, so I'm a little biased. I'm actually a big Kyren guy too, but yeah, I mean, 50.
People are starting to sweat on Bucky now with Sean Tucker and all these other people kind of coming in now and Gainwell. So people are starting to sweat on Bucky a little bit, but I would still take Bucky as well. Kyren or New Orleans Saint, Travis Etienne.
Travis. A-chan, ETN, somebody asked Trevor.
I still refuse to call him that. He's always going to be
Trevor. Just tell Travis me what to be.
Yeah, Trevor.
I would go ETN, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is kind of the funniest story of the week to me. John Shipley of Sports Illustrated says his early gut feeling is Chris Rodriguez will lead the Jags in carries, but it will be close with Tootin, and LaQuint Allen is expected to be the primary passing down back again. Jeff, who is your favorite Jags running back?
My favorite Jags of the Jags. give me Bashaal Tootin here. I think that Rodriguez is an interesting conversation. Obviously, we know Liam Cohen coached him in Kentucky, and it really comes down to, ball security, I think, is a big thing there because we know Tootin has that history with fumbles. We could see Tootin fumble and get in the doghouse. And Rodriguez is just that boring vet that does the right thing. And offensive-minded head coaches love that guy. That's not going to turn the ball over. He's going to get 3.5 yards on the play that I designed to get 3.5 yards to set up the big play, and he's not going to screw it up. Whereas Tootin, I feel like the potential to screw it up is definitely there, but also the upside is clearly on Tootin's side.
It's exactly what I was going to say. Chris Rodriguez, it's funny that Jeff Simon said this too, but he's the definition of a Jag. So, and Tootin, yeah, I mean, we don't know for sure, but he had some flashes last year, and he's, like you said, way more upside. So, yeah, Tootin's not going to cost you a fortune, I think, still. And he's definitely going to cost more than Rodriguez, but I'd still rather have Tootin even at, like, cost.
Rodriguez screams like bi-week flex to me. Like that's his spot. He's going to score you 6 points on a bye week when you need some help, and you'll be happy with it.
Diggs running back found, build, Chris Rodriguez. You just call
him. Yeah. And then Diggs was found not guilty of his strangulation charges as of about 2 hours ago. So we'll see if people start looking at him again now. Couple, like one big rumor I didn't even put on there because it's not done, but Schefter basically said AJ Brown for a 28 first is done. And as the Jalen Hurts haters will tell you, the Eagles now have 2 28 firsts on the year when they owe Jalen Hurts no more guaranteed money. So I love the Jalen Hurts haters. And I said this last week, Rocky, when you weren't there, I hope he leaves. Y'all don't deserve him anymore. You guys hate him too much, and he's too
good. I don't hate him.
I know.
I love me some Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Guy made two Super Bowls, won an MVP.
Yeah.
You're right. People hate too much.
Yeah. Okay, Jeff, now we have the guest decide. Would you like to do trades or listener questions?
Let's do listener questions.
Excellent. First listener question from friend of the show at FF Mike Cash. Why does Jeff Bell hate Justin Jolie?
Why does Jeff Bell hate Justin Jolie? So I think Justin Jolie is a player that needs a little bit better play strength to really project. And so Mike is asking me, so Mike handled the tight ends for the Football Guys Rookie Guide. I handled wide receivers, and Dave handled running backs. And we got together when we updated our ranks, our big board top 48 for the version 3.0 post-draft. I only ranked 3 tight ends in my final 48, and Mike had like 12 tight ends in his final 48, and he had less wide receivers, and it ended up being like I was just ranked more wide receivers because I probably knew them a little bit better. But at the same time, I think that Justin Jolie, there's really the tight end position in general in fantasy football is an interesting conversation, because now we've gone away from so many years of being the Mike Gesicki gets 4 catches and maybe scores a touchdown, gets me 11.5 points, I'm thrilled, throw a party, to these guys that obviously the high end, Trey McBride and Brock Bowers, but also, you know, Loveland, having Fannin, you're talking about 20 to 25 fantasy points out of this tight end position, the way some of these offense have been structured, and being a one-off position, it really kind of starts to be the conversation of the dual threat quarterback, the high end Konami and code quarterback, to have these tight ends. And if, I mean, you can make the case maybe Justin Jolie is that, but we haven't seen that within this Denver Broncos version of the Sean Payton offense. And at some level, you're going to get all these tight ends that these two tight end looks, these guys that a bunch of guys that are getting 8 to 12 points that you can't really play anyways, because you're going to go up against Brock Bowers and then Trey McBride and get your butt kicked out of this tight end position. So that's where I'm kind of deferring on less tight ends now.
Yeah. This is why Jeff Bell's the best in the business, everybody, because he took a question that Mike asked me to put in here to troll Jeff, and he ran with it and did a great answer. And I'm not even going to throw it to Rocky because I don't know what else he would add to that. So moving on to Leif Peterson at leifpeterson.bsky.social. I asked how many rookie drafts everyone are in. He said 2 rookie drafts in the books, 1 ongoing and 1 this weekend. And I kind of asked before the show, Jeff, so how many rookie drafts are you in right now?
So we have 7 Football Guys Dynasty Listener Leagues that we are wrapping up those 7 rookie drafts. I have, I want to say probably about 6 other drafts that I have 4 that are kind of are through and 2 or 3 that we haven't launched yet.
Yeah. and I assume that's not counting the stuff you guys do for articles and stuff, right? Like, because you guys do mock drafts for articles on Football Guys and stuff, I would assume.
Well, so. I have opinions about mock drafts, but I don't know if they can be aired, so.
That's fine. Moving on to Kevin at clearly not kevin.bsky.social. He said, one rookie draft finished, two scheduled to kick off this weekend, one next month, and one more to figure out when it is. And then he asked, what are some of the odd things you guys have seen so far in rookie drafts? In Superflex, we had it go Love, Tate, Price, Mendoza. Wow. We also saw Golden and Mike Evans traded for the 208. Wow, you got both of those for the 208. Well done. Jeff, what's something weird you've seen so far?
So I did see Mendoza go 101 in one of my leagues, and I had the 102 in that league, so that was fun. I got Mendoza at the 105 in one league. We did one, Dave Kluge is the commissioner. It's kind of basically a industry league, but friends and whatnot. And I got Mendoza at the 105 in that league. We drafted before the draft, so Lemon went there. Other weird things. I mean, Price, you probably guys probably seen it. Price has definitely shot up the board. One of our listener leagues, we do have 0.25 per carry, and Price went 102 in that league. So those are kind of the things I've seen.
Brocky, anything you've seen?
A couple of funny ones from TA leagues, I thought, both involving Kenya and Sadiq. In TA2, Stowers went at 105 with Sadiq still on the board. Sadiq ended up going at 108.
It could even be a boat, Rocky. That's what Eli Stowers is.
Well, and here in TA1, Kenyon Sadiq went 103.
Behind, so that's Love, why his ADP is so messed up.
Behind Love and Mendoza. He was the first pass catcher off the board.
So I was talking to my friend Corey Spala this weekend about Sadiq, and it seems to be a fade on Sadiq, and especially relative to Stowers. And it's like, so we don't want Sadiq because he's a Jet, but we want Stowers because he went to the Eagles, but we don't want AJ Brown to be an Eagle anymore. We want him to be a Patriot, but we didn't want any Patriots last year. And that's kind of what we're doing right now.
It's Charlie Day with the string, man.
Yes.
Oops, sorry. I was pulling up another draft I'm in. So this is with Joey Wright and G-Man Jay and a couple of the front yard guys. And Mendoza went 104 behind Lemon and Tate. And I took Stowers at 9. And that's where we've kind of stopped. Simpson went 107 to Alfredo. So it's interesting. And then in TA3, I got Jadarian Price at the 109, which I was very excited about. So rookie drafts are, we knew this draft would be weird and that everyone would kind of have their guy this year. And it's just going to be something that is going to be fun to watch. Jeff, I know the answer to this because I have watched your content over the last couple of months. Who is your favorite rookie not in the first round?
Who is my favorite rookie not in the first round? I wish I knew the answer to this.
Is his last name Bell and he's in Buffalo?
Oh, yes, of course. Yes, Skylar Bell. I do love that.
Yeah.
I'm very, very excited for Skylar Bell to be a Bill. And we just dove into it on one of the latest episodes of the Dynasty Show with Matt Waldman of just that. That was one. I was in Colorado with Dave and Joey during the draft. And when Skylar Bell went off the board on Saturday after we had been hanging out for a couple of days, I was ecstatic because it was a player that I really liked, but then adding layers on top of it, my girls are starting to get into what dad's interested in and whatnot. And so my daughter, oldest daughter was a Dolphins fan, and because she really liked Jalen Waddle, who thank God Jalen Waddle got traded. He's almost a Bill. He's almost a Bills fan, but now he's gone. But now it's just fun as they start to get into it and aware of it, of if Skylar Bell is really good and there's a Bell wide receiver on the Bills. I mean, I am just golden.
Yeah. I was just going to say, to be clear, Skylar Bell, no relation.
What kind of role do you see Bell playing? Do you see Shakir kicking out and Bell kind of playing that slot role? Do you see him kind of gadgety? What did you like about Skylar Bell, and what do you see him doing in Buffalo?
So my expectation, I think that we'll see Joe Brady go back to kind of the Carolina offense. One of the things we saw last year was they couldn't really – Shakir was the only player they had that could play the slot. So they couldn't really use him heavily. They only used him heavily in games that they were losing, basically a break glass in case of emergency, because if he got hurt, they had no other slot option. Now adding DJ Moore and Skylar Bell, they have multiple slot options. So they can go back to a lot of what Joe Brady did in Carolina, was grouping the receivers and kind of having multiple after the catch threats and having them alternating of having Shakir, having DJ Moore, and then Skylar Bell kind of being that support right now as a rookie, potentially taking over for DJ Moore, but being able to utilize these players a lot more in the passing game with a lot more volume there to those receivers, let them create after the catch. If you think back to that 2020 Carolina team when they had DJ Moore coming right out, when they had in his prime Curtis Samuel, and then they had Robbie Anderson, the one good Robbie chosen, the one good season he had. So I think that we'll see some more of that in Buffalo with utilizing more volume to Shakir, more volume obviously to DJ Moore, but utilizing both of them in the slot, and then Bell kind of being that player that is the backup for both of them year one.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Which side do you guys like of Golden and Mike Evans for the 208?
I like the Golden and Mike Evans side.
Yeah, give me the players.
Yeah. Slam dunk. All right, from Haywood Almanac, who will actually, we finally are going to get him on the show end of this month, I think. Was in a couple keeper dynasty leagues. Now I'm downsizing this year to only one. Definitely still in a lot of leagues for the upcoming year. Give us a breakdown of Tate versus Tyson for the number one rookie wide receiver in rookie drafts. Jeff.
Breakdown of Tate versus Tyson. I think the easiest way to break it down, I mean, Tate went off the board first, but Tate getting to play with Cam Ward and potentially being the clear and obvious number one receiver, whereas Jordan Tyson running into maybe the career number 1B with the Saints behind Olave, next to Olave. And I think that that's probably the easiest way to break it down of looking at ceiling outcomes for both of them. I mean, ceiling outcome would be Tyson is better than Olave than ceiling outcome, but that's kind of a lot more of an ask than Tate to just be the number one receiver for Cam Ward. Yeah.
I think it really depends on your view of Shuck. Right. If you like Shuck, Kellen Moore has proven he can support two wide receivers. His offense can.
And also your view of Cam Ward, too. Yeah. Like if you think that Cam Ward's going to hit in the way that being the first quarterback in the draft and you're getting that number one, like a Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase type situation with Tate.
Wow. You put that in people's heads. Now that's people are definitely running with that. Rocky, do you like Tate or Tyson?
I go with Tate too. I think I've told you, I know I've mentioned it to a couple other people offline, that I have not, this is probably my least personal researched draft class in like forever. I'm mostly going off a lot, like kind of what Russ does, reason. Listen to other smart people. Yeah, that's true too. It's less exciting to watch these guys, but from what I've heard, but I just listen to a lot of other smart people, and so a lot of what's guiding me is that, and also just I'm probably putting more, especially with everyone saying it's a weaker class, putting more stock in draft capital and things like that. And I know there is, you know, some slight injury concerns with Tyson too. So I lean Tate there. Yeah,
yeah.
I know it's a bad class because. I've been broken into the Rocky mindset of like, I always used to be, give me the picks, give me the young guys. What are we doing? And then I've been trading for Derrick Henry and Devontae Adams with like late seconds. Cause like, just give me Derrick Henry. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
And I did have one early pick. I think it was 103 and I did take Tate over Tyson.
Yeah. Makes sense. Okay. On to Dynasted's question. Seems like everybody agrees there's a drop off near the middle of the first round. Where is that drop off for you, Jeff?
I think the drop off, I would say the drop offs have for the 104, to be honest. If you're looking at the two wide receivers, Love and Mendoza off the board, I think it's interesting on Lemon. I'm glad Rocky's here, the Eagles fan, because I don't see Lemon being the clear, obvious AJ Brown replacement in terms of we need Lemon to do a lot of things that I think he could do, but it's not assured that he's going to do it. It's not a direct one-for-one replacement. And I think in many ways, Casey Concepcion made a little bit more sense than Lemon for the Eagles because of the way they like to use two receivers and be married to those two receivers. We really need to see Lemon win outside consistently to profile to there.
That's exactly what I'm hearing. Even just from Eagles guys, not even just fantasy guys, just like that. What the concern about Lemon is that he's best probably in zones and over the middle, and that's not been Hurts' specialty. But of course, I believe Mekhi Lemon is going to be the best wide receiver out of this draft now.
Because he's wearing Nick Foles' number, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, but yeah, so yeah, it's definitely a little bit of concern. I would probably – I agree. I get what Jeff's saying. I'd probably say six, like I think after six, because I do like Lemon. I do like Sadiq. So, but then after that, I think it's even a huger drop-off than from like 4 to 5.
I think it's six with Love, Mendoza, Tate, Tyson, Lemon, and I would still put Price there. Because just the opportunity set he can have. But we haven't heard anything about Charbonnet yet. So that's scaring me a little bit in both directions. Like he could be back any second now, or he could be out another few months. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't think they're really counting on Charbonnet very much. I think they Manuel Wilson, they've talked about him.
I forgot, yeah.
They've talked about Helani. And I do think it's right after the pick, like I caught myself when I was writing instant reactions because I was like, wait, there's different coaches and different offensive coordinators on these teams. And it was easy to think immediately, well, okay, well, he'd be the Kenneth Walker role and they'll have a power back. But then, you know, Kubiak's gone. He's with the Raiders. And the coach now was the run game coordinator for the 49ers, who was one of the more bell cow back teams, and so you can make the argument, and I think that that's where you open it up, you start talking past the 104. There's a chance that you drafted Price in the first round, he's a bell cow back sooner rather than later, and then yeah, that expands that tier for sure.
To be fair, that bell cow is McCaffrey. If I have McCaffrey, I'm going to be a bell cow team too.
Oh yeah, well no, yeah. So, yeah.
But to your point, Emmanuel Wilson did very well for Green Bay when he had the opportunity, so absolutely. He's talented enough. Okay, he said he started three rookie drafts. He said, first question, has trading interest been super low in your leagues, not just volume of completed trades, but seems like it's harder to even get offers or counters during the draft this year compared to other years? Jeff, have you seen pick trades up and down less, more?
Probably less, but I think it's not for lack of interest, especially people that want to move the picks. But I do think we run into, and if you remember back to 23, we run into these classes where like nobody wants to move the 27 first, but everybody wants the 27 first. So then it just stops everything, basically. And like we saw it with the Bijan class in 2023, where it was like nobody wanted to move those 23 picks, but everybody wanted those 23 picks. And we really... I think that we're all probably in too many leagues is one thing that we run into. So we're thinking about giving the 27 first, but also just being creative and looking for, you know, maybe you grab that 27 second instead of that 27 first. And then as you get into the season, somebody starts 4-0, you're sitting here with that second and maybe like, how can I turn this second into that your first? And then maybe the wheels fall off for you, things like that. And kind of as you're looking at these blockades of everybody wants these 27 first, and that's the starting point and ending point of every conversation, got to start to think about ways around that.
Mm-hmm. Bracky, what have you seen? I'm only in TA3. So what have you seen across?
Only four normal. I had two leagues that are limited Debbie, so that's a weird thing all to itself. So I've had four actual drafts, and I've actually seen it be, I would say, about the same as average. I wouldn't say more, I wouldn't say less. I'm still seeing trades getting made. We're going to see when we get to the trades here. We've had eight across three, seven or eight across three TA leagues, and they're only through like the middle of the second round, most of them. And so, yeah, I think it's still there. People just like to trade. So I don't think it's – even with a weak class, I'm seeing a fair amount of stuff still. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it's more, but I wouldn't say it's less.
Yeah. I would agree. I'm getting offers in three. I'm just not moving off because it's like the 206 and the 311 for my 27 first. It's like,
I got that offer too.
Yeah. Ben, we like you, dude, but stop sending that.
Seriously?
It's like, yeah.
I'd be curious if we're seeing more veterans being moved for picks. If we're getting more kind of, especially once you start that second and the third round, where you're getting more people that still fell in love with the Chris Bell or somebody like that, and or mm-hmm. like other people that are saying, you know, like me, like give me Derrick Henry. I don't really want to throw a dart at one of these random Emmett Johnson or somebody.
Yeah. And we'll get into some of those in the trades too, because there is definitely veterans moving. Okay, he said, clearly the market is down on this year's class, probably rightfully so, but at what point does the hate go too far and warrant zigging when others zag? Any particular draft range you want to trade into at current market prices? Back end of the first?
I don't even
love back end of the first. The 109, 110. I mean, especially Superflex, like grabbing a Ty Simpson or something like that, kind of at the 110, I feel like is probably where the hate's going too far. And the other thing, I feel like where the hate's going to, I don't know if the hate's going too far, just maybe the consensus is too hard. Of guy like Caleb Douglas, of going a round two, and you're seeing these guys that went round two, round three, day two players that are falling to the fourth round. And it's like, I understand where we were pre-draft on some of these things, but and we might think that it's an idiot running the team that drafted them, but in the fourth round in this class, you're getting day two players right now. And I don't think that should be happening.
Right. No, that makes sense. And I said kind of the back end of the first because Stowers is there. I like Jonah Coleman, especially because it sounds like Peyton wants to use him right away. Maybe Stribling. I don't know about him yet. I'm still kind of figuring him out. But Cooper's been there in the back half of the first, which is it's a different example. But to Jeff's point, you're getting first round capital in the back end of the first. That's pretty good. So, and then Roman says in the chat, Lemon 106, Casey Concepcion went 107 in TA2 and Cooper Jr. at 111. Yeah, perfect. If you're getting Cooper at the 111, that's a good thing. So
I do think that early third, that while we can be down in this class, you're seeing a guy like Mike Washington land in the early third. And I think if you were to look historically of the guys that you're usually seeing in the early third, you kind of need something to break for them anyways. And you're getting, I mean, like Mike Washington, for example, obviously we need Genty to be out of the lineup, but he's a side speed freak that's potentially the clear handcuff there. But I think historically, probably that's a good breaking point too of the early third. The hate's gone too far relative to what we've traditionally seen.
Mm-hmm. And to your point on Kubiak before, he doesn't use one running back. He basically never has. So Washington could have value early. Yeah. Just as a little bit of a pass catcher who gets you a couple points here and there. So Roman asks, and Jeff, you can answer this. Would you take Boston or Coleman?
You take Boston or Coleman? I still probably would take Boston because you're still looking at a top 40 selected player versus Coleman. I understand the case on Coleman. I didn't love the landing spot for Cleveland, and especially having Concepcion above him and having obviously Harold Fannin there on Boston, but still when you're talking about a top 40 player versus a day three running back.
Yeah, I would agree. Okay. What's been your, we already asked this. I didn't notice that. Sorry. Still a number of bigger name veterans available in the market. Diggs, Ayuk, Sorta, Juwan Jennings, Keenan, et cetera. Any of them interesting to you as a value gainer when they eventually sign?
I mean, can we see where they sign first before we say that? Because, you know, if Stephon Diggs is the Raiders' number one wide receiver for Fernando Mendoza, all right, this is an interesting conversation here. But Brandon Ayuk is the guy that I don't know that I was definitely buying, but certainly like startups that we did in these listener leagues, I had very late Brandon Ayuk last year, some of those things. And now it seems like he's just off the reservation entirely, but maybe that's on purpose so that they'll cut him so he can go to the Commanders. I think Juwan Jennings is fascinating to me because he just must not be a very nice person, because when he was a free agent a couple of years ago off a strong Super Bowl, like nobody interested at all. And he kind of established himself as a pretty solid starting receiver last year, the last couple of years, and like no interest at all in that, in a position that everybody's looking for.
Yeah. And Juwan, I think, visited the Dolphins, which really scraping the bottom of the barrel there. Let's not put Diggs in Vegas. That guy's enough of a problem as it is before we put him in literally Sin City.
I mean, Kirk Cousins, didn't he play with Kirk Cousins at one point in time?
He was in Minnesota with Kirk. Yeah, that would well, was Kirk in Minnesota then? He would have been, right?
So, yeah.
I remember a big game, a game, I think it was the Saints, a pretty big game with
the miracle was Keenum. That was not Kirk Cousins.
Oh, that was Keenum. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they lost to Rockies Eagles.
I don't remember anything.
I knew that too, because it was the game before the Vikings got destroyed by the,
absolutely
the Eagles on the Super Bowl run. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, no, that was Keenum. But yeah, no, I they probably did. That might have been Diggs's last year, but Keenan, I have said, should just get $1 million from the Chargers every year to catch 60 balls until he decides he wants to be done. I don't know why the Chargers haven't done that yet. He's perfect for what they want to do. He's not going to cause any issues in the locker room, and he can help you train the younger guys. That feels like that should be done already. And
in regards to this question, I just wanted to say, I think some of these guys I would like for points. I don't think any of these guys are value risers, no matter where they land.
Yeah.
Agreed with that. Yeah.
Which is what his question was.
Yes. I think his point is like, they're free right now. But.
All right. Special. I guess maybe you can get.
Like, all right, here we go.
A potential second in the right landing spot or something.
Tyreek Hill is still out there, which I completely forgot about. Debo's still out there. It says Dotson's still out there. No, he's not. Any of Falcon?
Yeah, he's signed somewhere. Yeah.
Okay. This might be a little off then, but I was trying to look at running backs too, real quick.
It's Nixon, only I think Najee Harris. There's really not much.
Najee, Eckler, Antonio Gibson is probably going to come in and ruin someone's day. Yeah, Kareem Hunt's going to be a chief. That's another, like, give him $1 million until he wants to be done type of thing. I don't want them to, but they're going to. Anyways, and then we kind of answered the how many leagues are you all in, more or less. So we can move on to the
Trade Addicts trades.
And we start with – oh,
we have somebody just took over an orphan. Did we do that one? There was one more.
I missed one. Sorry. Yes. I just took over an orphan in a friends league, middle of the pack team, not enough talent depth to fill a lineup and rely on a long enough or on through a long season. So decide to rebuild. What are your first steps when trying to rebuild an orphan, especially right before the rookie draft? So this is like my favorite question. So I'm really sad I missed it, but go ahead, Jeff. What's your first step to doing a rebuild?
So first step to doing a rebuild, I'm somebody, a player that I don't like to break like star players into pieces. I kind of like just to like to have the star players, like a guy like Malik Nabers or Lamar Jackson. I don't really like to break it up into a bunch of little pieces and hope that one of those pieces turns into Malik Nabers again. So I'll basically rip it down of everything outside of, like, kind of identify those four players, whatever it might be, and rip it down, everything of value, get everything else off, like bring in backup running backs, like those types of players that might have just bounces in value that you could potentially flip for picks throughout the season. Make sure that I'm bad and make sure that I'm going to get an early pick, because I do think that as we look at the 26 class relative to other classes, I think the real loss is that 201, that 202, where last year you were grabbing like Loveland, or 2 years ago you were getting Bo Nix, guys like that. And this year it's just lost. And so I think that if you strip it down to the best three or four pieces and you nail that, you get Jeremiah Smith and you get whoever the Colston Loveland of next year's class at the 201, you're already right there. And then if you have another year, if you hit on later thirds that you might have accumulated or something like that with another piece, you're kind of already at a point now where your team's pretty interesting. If you were to lose one more season, then you're really, really interesting because you're looking at those four or five pieces that you didn't move off. You're looking at Jeremiah Smith. You're looking at the early pick in 28. And all of a sudden now you've got six pieces that you're like, okay, we can definitely win a league now with these pieces.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to just say a couple of versions of some similar stuff, which I've said. One is that I've seen before, I hate this, people will trade good young players. And I'm not even just talking for pieces. I've just heard, like, I need to make sure my pick is as bad as possible. Say Malik Nabers or something. Malik Nabers is going to score me too many points. That is the absolute most wrong thing you can do. You're trying to get these – and I know, you know, Jeremiah Smith's in that particular neck year's draft, but in general, you're trying to get good young players. You do not trade good young players so you can get draft picks. And not score points. And the other thing I wanted to add was don't be afraid to grab veterans that will get more points and then be able to flip them for, say, seconds within the season, or maybe even a first, depending on how good that veteran ends up doing, like old guys.
Yep.
I've had luck with doing that before, too, or running back. Like, a lot of times people say, oh, you're rebuilding, don't pick up running back. Jeff kind of mentioned it, backup running back. But even a guy I flipped last year was J.K. Dobbins. I picked up on a rebuild in the offseason who was worth like nothing. Perfect. And then obviously he had pretty good value during the season. So if you have a guy you kind of believe in like that, Javonte Williams is another guy who would have picked up value last year. So, those are my two things that I was thinking when I saw this question.
Yeah, grab players like that and then grab those seconds and thirds, and then all of a sudden you've got that maybe somebody's 5-1 and you're offering 2 seconds and J.K. Dobbins for their first. They're thinking they're going to win the league, and then the wheels fall off, and all of a sudden you've got the 106, the 107 in like a Carnell Tate type of a player or something like that that you're adding out of nowhere. So one of the things I tell myself, like fourths become thirds become seconds become firsts, and having more of those opens up the door for that.
Yes. I will add one thing on top of the great advice that they gave. There's luck in it. There is. To Rocky's point, like getting J.K. Dobbins off the scrap heap and trading him for value, there's just luck to some of this. And sometimes you're going to miss, but you can't be afraid to not, or can't be afraid to make that move in risk of like, oh, this could go poorly. You have to kind of lean into it a little bit. So
I think the other side of it, one, it can be kind of fun to do a rebuild, but the other part of it, there's not a lot of pressure involved in a rebuild. And I think one of the things I see way too often is people don't know when to flip the switch from rebuild to contender, and they don't understand that. Like, I've put out a poll a couple years ago kind of asking, like, how many top 60 players do you need in Dynasty to consider that you're no longer rebuilding, that you're contending now? And most people were at 6 or 7 players. And it's like, guys, like, you need 7 top 60 players. Like, you're lucky to have 5 of them, the way the math works in the league. You need 7 before you think that you're contending. Like, no, it doesn't. It's really, you're contending a lot sooner than you probably realize.
Agreed. Okay, now we can
trade addicts trade. Perfect.
Trade addicts leagues are 12 team superflex PPR 10 premium with 1.75 per tie reception and 0.05 for return yard in all leagues except TA1. And we have a TA1 trade. So here's how I'm going to phrase this. I am going to say what the picks turned into as I read the picks. So TA1, the 108, which became Jadarian Price. For Trey Harris, the 112, which turned into Denzel Boston, the 312, and a 27 second. So saying that again, Jadarian Price for Trey Harris, Denzel Boston, the 312, and a 27 second. Jeff.
This looks like a Jeff Bell special on what the things that I do to get like the 108, because I definitely would throw random other pieces in with the 112 to be able to jump up tiers and grab the 108. So I would be going off brand to say that I wouldn't take the 108 here.
Yeah, I'm with Jeff. I would. Yeah, the 312 means nothing to me, especially on this draft. Trey Harris is whatever. I don't love the 27 second, but you got to give up something. So, and I definitely like Price a lot more than Boston in general. Mm-hmm. So I think it's worth it to move up the 4 spots.
The unfortunate thing is Trey Harris and the 312 are probably pretty closely valued. So yeah, that's to your point. You have to add something. And this just feels like there was negotiations for a while on this one. Like someone wanted price and they were going back and forth on like, I'll give you 112 and Trey Harris and then add the 312 and then add the, so this feels like something that was traded or discussed a lot. So I will also take the price side. I think this is a good way to consolidate assets.
Yeah. Okay. I love that point too, the consolidating the assets, because I know I was not as active as I would have liked to have been pre rookie draft and I was busy with taxes, and now I'm having to cut guys that I'm like, I really wish I would have consolidated a couple months ago. So I think that's an underrated key part of this as well.
Yes. Okay. Another TA1 trade. This was made after both were picked. So Ladd McConkey for Omar Cooper Jr. and Jonah Coleman.
I need to make some Ladd McConkey offers. I need to be going.
This feels like overthinking it. I would assume Jeff is taking Ladd McConkey based on that comment.
And I'm not even a McConkey guy, and I would take Ladd McConkey for that. Like, yes. Yeah. Give me the guy who's at least proven something in the league over two.
And has Mike McDaniel.
Yeah. Two question marks.
It's over Omar Cooper Jr. I like Jonah Coleman Herbert. Fine. Yeah, right. I mean, this feels like overthinking the Chargers.
Yeah, thing. And like Jeff mentioned, one of those guys is a day three running back too, which is, you know, a nice spot, but still day three running back. So.
Yes.
So for further context, I had it might not have ended up being Jonah Coleman, but I traded Michael Pittman Jr. and like the 205 in a league, and I got Omar Cooper Jr. for it. So.
I think this is easy McConkey for me. Okay. Another TA1 trade, Josh Downs and Chuba Hubbard for DeAndre Swift, the 210, which became Max Clare and the 304. So that's Downs and Hubbard for Swift, Max Clare and the 304.
Can I just say no?
Yes, you can.
I'll let Jeff answer.
Don't take Max Clare at the 210. Like first.
Why? You don't like the other five white tight ends that the Rams have to go with them?
I like Terrence Ferguson, to be honest. But no, I would have, I mean, you probably could have taken like Mike Washington Jr. or Emma Johnson or something there. And I would have felt like this is a lot more interesting there. But I think Rocky's right. No, I don't know.
No. Yeah. The answer is no. Rocky, who went after? Do you have the draft board? Who went after Clare?
Who went after? I'm looking.
While Rocky looks, I would take the Downs and Hubbard side if the answer is not no, but I don't like either side really.
211 is off the board. Emmett Johnson was already picked. Who was the other guy you said?
Mike Washington Jr.
Yeah, he's still on the board.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Katron Allen was taken right before the 209, Singleton and 208. But yeah, in terms of the trade, I mean, I guess give me the two guys. I mean, I don't love anybody in that trade. So I guess just give me the two players. I don't really care about the 210 and the 304, and I don't know what to make of DeAndre Swift at this point anyway. So give me two shots at points, basically.
The fact the Bears didn't take a real running back, I know they're talking about using Xavier Thomas as running back. I'm just going to tell you he's going to be a kick returner. He's not going to be a running back. He led the SEC in like return touchdowns. He's going to be a kick returner. I think Swift is probably primed for one more good year, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with him after that. Okay. TA2, the 103, which became Carnell Tate, and the 112 for the 104, which became Tyson, and the 109, which became Price. So that's Tate and the 112 for Tyson and Price. This is my first fun trade of the discussion so far.
Yeah. I take the Tyson Price side of this, depending on what's on the board at the 112. I mean, assuming you're not getting
it. Since we started recording, the 112 has been picked. It hadn't when we started. 112 is Denzel Boston.
Yeah, give me the Tyson Price. I mean, the 112, you're probably not going to get a Stowers or Simpson based upon where ADPs are going. That would be probably the type of player that I would want it to be to take that side.
Yeah,
I think
that, Simpson went at 10. This is the league. Stowers went at 5. So, but I am with you. I would rather have the 104 and the 109 in that scenario. Just the second piece is so much better than the second piece on the other side to me.
Yeah, especially the fact that the 109 is Price. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Even though I like Tate better than Tyson, the difference between the other two is bigger to
me. Tyson and Stowers, I think this would be a different conversation. But the fact that it's Price,
yeah,
I think helps. Yeah, no, this is pretty easy, Tyson and Price for me. Okay. First veteran trade. We have Jalen Waddle in the 302 for Travis Etienne Achane.
I'm just gonna say I'm still taking Waddle. I've been a Waddle stan since he came in the league. Yes, you didn't get the pick on the, which I don't care that much about the pick, but I think the pick's on the wrong side.
That could be Carson Beck.
Etienne is fine, but give me Waddle. I like him going to Denver. I think there's potential there. Give me Waddle.
Yeah, I think that there could be situations that this goes to ETN, but no, like outside of a vacuum, assuming it's start three wide receivers with a flex and you're looking at the start standard 10, give me Jalen Waddle.
Frank is deep in thought on this one.
Yeah.
Frank is a big Travis Etienne fan.
I am.
I think he's struggling and more than we are.
I think he's actually – I'm not worried about Kamara one iota for Achane. So
– and to be fair, I mean, that offense could be pretty good this year. How Shuck develops and all that stuff, yeah.
This was on CBS's show. This was yesterday, but they were saying – they were highlighting, Kellen Moore's success – with running backs, and his track record's ridiculous. He had Zeke, he had Pollard, he had Saquon.
Yeah,
Saquon Kamara last year
was under more. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, Saquon or Kamara last year was hurt, but he's done a lot with running backs. So I'll take Waddle for the upside, but man, this is a tough choice. So,
the next trade is not for me, by the way. A tough choice.
Yeah. So the next trade is Jonathan Taylor in a 27 third for Juwan Jennings or Juan Jennings. And
I typoed it. This was Dynasty, I believe, by the way.
Ari, you spend too much time listening to this show to make trades like this.
He
and Jonathan Taylor. Give me Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, he got Taylor.
Oh, good for you. Never mind. Keep listening to the show.
That's what I would do.
I actually made him an offer for the 108 that he said was not. I offered him Addison for the 108 to draft Sadiq. And he's like, good trade, but I could not turn down the other thing. I could not turn down Taylor.
And then you saw it. You're like, yeah.
I did. I said, I do not blame you. I would absolutely not have taken my trade over that. I agree. I think this is way low on Taylor. And I know he's getting older, but. Yeah, I like Sadiq, but I mean, he's a total crapshoot. He is a Jet. You know, we did mention that earlier. Juwan Jennings is fine, but doesn't move the needle much for me. So, yeah, Jonathan Taylor easily.
If only he were an Eagle, then we could hope he could become a Patriot. And we would
and then Roman says, and Dennis said has three. Oh, Dynastud has three first rounders in for next year. Must have autocorrected.
Yeah, wow. He's been rebuilding, but he's doing well. Yeah, he's
good job, Ari.
Using those picks well.
All right, last one's big, so I felt like we had to bring something back.
Outhouse trade of the week. Outhouse trade of the week. We're gonna talk about a trade addict's trade, whichever one Rusty decides.
Zach sent me that like a month ago and I haven't been able to use it. So, all right. TA8. Is this TA8? Are you sure?
Yeah. Okay. That's why none of the picks have been made.
Oh, duh. Devon Achane, the actual Achane. Javonte Williams, the 108 and the 109 for the 101, the 102, and the 202. Blimey. Jeff?
Let's put. So at this point, I like to put names on things. Okay. So we're talking about the 101, your Jeremiah Love. And so either Jeremiah Love and Fernando Mendoza or Carnell Tate and the 202 for Achane, Javonte Williams. 108, 109, figure maybe one of those. You're, well, Sadiq went 108. You could be Stowers. You could be Ty Simpson. It could be maybe Price. I like probably the 101, 102 side on that, but I think you can get enough. You convince yourself, but I think that if you're really distilling it down and you're getting Jeremiah Love's most valuable piece in the deal, and then you could probably see a path to the 102 being the most valuable, second most valuable piece of the deal as well.
I struggle with it. I want to hear what Frank has to say, because I'm still not sure. I've been looking at this ever since I put it on the sheet.
It's a good trade.
It's a great trade. And I'm trying to see. The guy who traded for the 102 actually doesn't, he doesn't need a quarterback. So his wide receivers are dark. He's got McConkey and Wandale, and that's about it.
So let's talk about it this way. So you're definitely taking Jeremiah Love over Devon Achane, right? Okay. So what does the 108 and the 109 need to be to make it worth with Javonte Williams to get to the 102? What else can you do with the 102 if you don't want to stick and pick at the 102? And then the 202 still kind of a decent player as well.
If you don't need a quarterback, you try and trade out of the 102 to like the 103 or the 104 and something in the back end of the first, I would try and do. Because you don't want to fall out of that first tier. Like, you want it to be Tate or Tyson still.
This is also a weird trade to me.
I know, it's a lot of veterans on one side.
Well, and also too, why
is Achane worth the 101?
Also, if you're trading for like production, you could likely get production from Love and Mendoza also and be younger.
Well, we talked about earlier about our tiers, where our tiers fall off. So let's say we're going to say that Sadiq Price off the board. Mm-hmm. Through the 107. So you're looking at that 108, 109 being basically two of Casey Concepcion, Ty Simpson, and Eli Stowers as the available pieces along with Javonte Williams. And if you're not even taking Mendoza, if you're taking Carnell Tate, I mean, is there a combination of those two of those rookies plus Javonte Williams where you're giving Carnell Tate for that? Like, I don't know that there is.
Yeah, I think I'm on Jeff's kind of talked me into this. I think I'm on the 101, 102 side. It was very clear. Like you guys both said, it's a great trade. Mm-hmm. And I could see it either way. It's like 51-49 for me, but the 51 is currently on the 101, 102 side.
I will break it down this way. Is Achane worth the 101 straight up in this class?
I think probably not. Probably, I would say Jeremiah Love.
We have a name for that. Yeah.
It's Achane over Jeremiah Love. Because if not, then the answer is the 101 side. Because Williams and the two picks is not worth the two picks on the other side.
Especially when you, to me too, when you factor in the situation Achane is currently in as well, like that offense could be a dumpster fire.
To your point, though,
just getting a year older.
He could be McCaffrey. In this offense,
you mean just because it's like so much is going to go through him? Yeah.
But
workload of a horrible team is not necessarily like worth it.
you could also see where it's either Mendoza or Tate at the 102, and either Tate looks something close to Malik Nabers in that Brian Daboll offense right away with Ward, or Mendoza looks pretty good, and then all of a sudden that's not worth Devin Achane. You know, Achane, you couldn't get that player for Achane.
Yeah. Here's something crazy. I might trade the 101. If his running, he's got a good running back stable for what his team is.
Oh, not the guy who gave up.
He's got Dobbins, Etienne, Derrick Henry, Manungai, which is points. Yeah, you probably still take Love, I guess, but you could make a case for it if someone wants to overpay for that.
But the 202 is not nothing. I mean, no. It might be.
Yeah, that's true. We're not really talking about the 202.
The 202 in TA ADP, it's only two drafts, but the 202 is Jonah Coleman. So,
yeah, I mean, or you could trade the 202 for Javonte Williams if you wanted to.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably the 101 side, but I could, to both your points, I could see the Achane Williams side.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think if we felt probably a little bit better about maybe that Dolphins offense, maybe that Achane could replicate what he's done the last couple of years. And to some level, we could be selling the absolute peak of Achane right now and peeling back off of that. Now all of a sudden you're, you know, that could be one of the worst offenses in football very easily.
Mm-hmm. Can I be selfish for 5 seconds and say a trade I made
selfish for actually 18 seconds, Frank.
Okay. Very quickly. I did a trade in that league with Joey and Alfredo and them. I did a trade with Jay Felicio. I traded this is Superflex tight end premium, which won't matter for this part, but I traded Jordan Love and Josh Downs for AJ Brown and Tua.
Jordan Love and Josh Downs for AJ Brown and Tua.
I'm deep at quarterback. I can afford it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's also kind of a weird trade to me, but yeah. Like, all those players, are.
Well, my QBs are Shuck, Willis, Watson, Darnold, Tua, and Bryce. So I have QBs. I just don't have any great ones. Unless you believe Joey Wright, who thinks Tyler Shuck's going to be like a top 10 quarterback.
Which sounds beautiful to me, Frank.
I know. I just got to.
You know what? What's really scary is how many, like, thinking 2 years ago, I've, like, run into a bunch of teams where, like, I had, like, Kyler Murray, Tua, then, like, Michael Penix, Bryce Young, like, two, three or four.
Now they're all guys in the same dang place.
Thinking that, like, like, you're, like, fine. I'm set. I've got set at quarterback. These guys are all pretty young. And now I'm like, I am so screwed. Yeah. How quickly that happened.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny. I can't remember. They brought up something on Fantasy Cares Trivia, which, of course, everyone should listen to every Tuesday to support Fantasy Cares. But they said, like, someone is on the Eagles at QB. I'm like, everyone is on the Eagles. They have, like, six quarterbacks. It's crazy. So, it's going to be a fun season with the quarterbacks. Jeff, before we close out, pick your winners for the QB battles in, like, Minnesota, Atlanta, stuff like that. Do you think Tua wins or Penix wins?
I think Tua wins, to be honest, because a new regime, and they can't really trust Penix. I think Kyler Murray easily wins over JJ McCarthy. They're pretty much saying we're done with JJ McCarthy by making that move. I think that Fernando Mendoza plays right away. I don't think Kirk Cousins, like, I don't know. Unless somebody else watched a different Kirk Cousins the last few years when Kirk Cousins played, I don't see that guy beating Mendoza out for a significant portion of the season.
I've been the biggest Kirk Cousins stan for most of his career, and I've been saying the last year and a half that he's just washed at this point. As much as I loved having him underrated by everybody for years and years and years, he's cooked.
Yeah, that was weird when they signed, because I felt like I saw a lot of people being like, oh, Mendoza could sit like most of the year. And it's like, there's a problem if the Kirk Cousins that we saw the last 2 years.
I think some of that might have been the funny numbers that came out too, though. Like, wasn't that some ridiculous like contract, but it's really like 1 year, $20 million or something like that? But wasn't it announced as like 4 year, 5 years, $80 million or something like that? It was like some ridiculous number that's not real.
Cleveland, I think it's going to be Deshaun Watson, because I don't think Cleveland wants to win football games. And then the Cardinals.
What about the Jordan Love Tyrod Taylor battle in Green Bay?
That's a battle. I mean, Jordan Love is going to go for got to bring it, I guess. Apparently. What about how long is Geno Smith the quarterback instead of Cade Klubnik with the Jets?
Cade's not good. I know we Geo's did this not thing. Good. He's better than Cade. Cade we put on a pedestal. Cade is DJ Uyunglele again. We put him on a pedestal for so many years.
No, Cade is not good. I agree.
And everyone kept saying this was the year Clemson was going to turn around, and Cade never put it together in 4 years of being at Clemson as like.
Maybe that's why he starts, because he's not good, and they want to make sure they have the number one pick next year.
Dude, the tanking this year is going to be NBA-esque. I mean, we're going to have some real stinkers. And yeah, Dante Moore sweepstakes, baby. What's the hashtag this year?
Oh God. What was it last year for Art? Because it didn't end up being Art.
Yeah. Destroy for Dante. I don't know.
I can't think of a good D word.
I know we're all bummed out about Sadiq and Cooper going to the Jets, or like Love to the Cardinals, but at the same time, it's like very, very obvious of, oh, well, the quarterbacks can just go back to school. We better get them fun guys to play with so that they don't decide to just go back to school.
Yes. Someone made that point, is like, with all the pieces the Jets added, if they add Arch next year, like, holy cow. That offense is ridiculous, because you have Wilson and Cooper and Sadiq and Taylor, and they'll probably sign Breece Hall back. And, or, you know, because they're the Jets, they'll probably let Breece Hall go after all these years and when they finally have the offense going. So, yeah. Well, on that note, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Jeff. All jokes and fun aside, we always appreciate your time every year coming on and chopping it up with us. We know you're very busy this time of year, so we always do appreciate it. Before we head on out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on all the socials for MJ Beltholz. Everything's on Football Guys, but I think more important, I just appreciate the time with you guys, and I think that you guys are definitely pillars of this community, and being able to share this time, get in here, talk about some dynasty trades. I love to, you know, I do the Dynasty show, but it's like we kind of YouTube it up a lot versus like getting into the nitty gritty of the Dynasty stuff. And so I really always appreciate the opportunity of digging into these trades and really connecting the way that you guys connect. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you, Jeff. Thank you. Our stuff, patreon.com/triaxpod. You can watch us while we record. You can watch me think and make thinking faces, and you can find out, did I dance at the Trade of the Week song? I don't know. You can figure it out. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. Most importantly, Fantasy Cares. Jeff, you promote your eliminator first. We'll go second.
Yeah, there are going to be two eliminators for Jeff Bell, and I was trying to get Hep to let me do the most basic scoring possible, but we'll see. They'll probably be just like any other eliminator, but you know, I'll get you a Football Guys sub if you win that, and you remind me that I'm getting you a Football Guys sub. And if you won my eliminator in the past and you've not gotten a Football Guys sub, please let me know, and I will get you one of those.
Yes, we will also have an eliminator this year. I promise I will pay more attention to it this year. Last year I was getting married and all those other things. I admit I dropped the ball a little bit. Speaking of which, Eric Nelson, you won our eliminator last year. We owe you a podcast appearance. So if you reach out to me, I'm at Frank of the Channel on all socials, or Rocky's at Dynasty of Effect on all socials. Reach out to us. But we are bringing ours back. We are one of the only eliminators that allows trading in the draft, and that does get hectic. So If you want to be in that, I think Cap said signups are going up on Sunday. I'm sure Scott will bring it up tomorrow in the Hangout, which everyone should check out. And yeah, everyone join the Eliminators. They're always just a fun way to play with a lot of different people. Zach Reed Rookie Report is live. You should get the Zach Reed Rookie Report and the Football Guys 3.0. You can never have too many rookie guides. And Fantasy Care shows trivia on Tuesday nights with Joey Wright and Jake Bryant. It was Mother's Day. Yes, Jeff.
I do want to say, too, if you're not in Scott Fishbowl and you want to be in Scott Fishbowl, those Eliminators tend to be a good yes. way to be able to find a way into Scott Fishbowl.
Absolutely. Yes. Good point. Trivia on Tuesday nights with Joey Wright and Jake Bryant. It was Mother's Day, so they actually had their moms on, which was a fun thing. And Wednesday night hangout. And I think that's it. As Rush Fisher always told us, if you have a training problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Great Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy fans, that is the best. See ya.